beautiful song. Thank you, Brother Derek. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 7, while you're turning there, if you could just stand for a few moments. You ever wonder why that we don't work the way we're supposed to work? You ever wonder that? Well, you're asking yourself, would you define what that means? It can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But sometimes I feel personally myself that, you know, we preach about things and we desire to see things happen and we don't see things happen and we wonder, okay, God, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get there from here? Anybody ever feel that way? Now is that coming a little more? Why can't we get there from here, God? What's wrong with me? And Lord, what do you have to do to me to make me work right as I was intended to work? Spiritually, with authority, that God, he wants his church to have the authority that he had. He wants us to pick that up and to take it. And I've just been on this quest because I'm determined that we're going to get there. We're going to get there, and we're going to get there together. It's not going to just be one or two people that the church has to flock to because, well, they seem to have the gift of healing, or they have this, or they have that. God is looking to just pour it out everywhere. So we're just all flopping around in this anointed authority and power from the Holy Ghost. And that's where this is leading us to. I am so excited tonight. I got to read this because you're going to get tired and want to sit down here. So we'll read this, then we'll go. Reading from Luke 7, 1 through 10. And now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered unto Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent him unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, for he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went unto them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Therefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority. This little staying statement right here by this centurion officer of the Roman army has just messed me up royally. Having me under my soldiers, I say unto one, come, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these sayings, he marveled at him. He marveled at him. We don't find, as I said this morning, the only other time that Jesus really was amazed or marveled was when he was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he was trying his best to break forth with some sort of a healing ministry, and they wouldn't believe him. They didn't trust him because they recognized him because he was too familiar with them, and they were offended, and he marveled. He was amazed at their response. And he said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have found not so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they went that were sent, returned to the house, found the servant whole who had been sick. I want to speak to you the second part of this message, awaken to our God-ordained spiritual authority. You can be seated tonight. When I said this messes with me, it messes with me because just say the word. Just say the word. All the centurion asked of Jesus was, all you have to do is say the word. I already recognize that you are a man of authority. I already recognize that there is an authority working in you that is greater than the authority that I am working under. There is an authority that reaches into the heavens. There's an authority that is greater than the Roman Empire because your authority, I believe so strong in your authority that all you have to do is speak the word, and it will happen. Now, we're going out on a limb here tonight, church. If you want to saw it off, that's fine, but we're going out on it. And I want to ask right here, right now, how many of you aren't feeling well tonight? How many of you need a healing? How many of you want to walk out of here tonight healed? There's nothing in me. But if we allow the authority that has been placed within us to flow through us, there ought to be nobody walking out of here. Because all we got to do is say, do we believe the same Lord? Do we believe the same word? I'm not trying to pump anybody up falsely. I'm just saying, listen, sooner or later, we're going to have to read this. We're going to have to believe it and act like we believe it. And it's going to happen. And when it happens, we're going to want more of it. We're going to want to experience more of it. And God is going to begin to use. You see, there's coming a day here at Calvary Gospel Church that we're going to have to drastically change our paradigm. You see, church, it's paramount. It's paramount that if we are to continue on this journey that God has placed us on, that we respond, that we recognize, and that we embrace our God-ordained spiritual authority. I see and I talk to too many people, too many ministers, too many saints of the Most High God that have the power of the Holy Ghost within them, walking around as if they are defeated and they have that everything has fallen apart, my health, my this, my that, and that ought not be so. I'm not scolding anyone who this is happening to, because Lord knows it may happen to me tomorrow, and I pray that I would have the faith to rise above. And I want to challenge you this day, rather than live in a defeated life, we can live in victory if we just simply discover or rediscover this one very simple yet very powerful principle, and that is the principle of kingdom authority. Kingdom authority. This morning we began speaking on the topic, and we started all the way back in the beginning. I believe, and I told the audience this morning, I never intended or planned when I started to study and talk and think about a series on God-ordained spiritual authority that I would end up in the Garden of Eden. But that's where I ended up, because that is where our spiritual authority began on this planet. We read in Genesis, the first chapter, we read in Genesis how that God created humanity. God made man out of the dust of the earth. He placed him in the garden, and he placed him to rule over the garden. He was to rule and reign over the garden. It was his area of dominion. He was given all authority within that garden. He could do whatever he desired to do because God gave him that authority. Understand something, if we understand authority, Adam didn't have authority over God, because true authority understands and recognizes that it is under authority, and in order to get authority, we have to be under authority, and that's why a lot of us don't ever get authority, because God says, I can't give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you until you're willing to receive it, to be under. So this is where we left off this morning. We got to understand, church, since the beginning of time, there's always been a struggle with authority. Back in the 80s sometime, I'm not for sure when, a gentleman named John Cougar Mellencamp wrote a song, I'm not for sure which one it was, but I remember hearing it many, many times on the radio and on the job sites, "I fight authority and authority always wins." Brings back some moments for some of us here anyway. You see, we can choose to obey authority or we can choose not to obey authority. That's the choices we have. Either we're with it or we're against it. We can choose to live this life as far as this life with Jesus Christ. We can choose to live this life or we can choose to ignore it. I don't have to be here if I don't want to. That's the bottom line. God can't make any of us do anything. He's that way to persuade us. He persuaded me at one time over a period of time, and that's why I'm here. But God's not going to force you to stay here tonight. We have a choice. So look at all of this. What does all of this fall down to then? If we have a choice whether we're going to be here or not, whether we're going to be under authority or not under authority, we have a choice, and that falls down to one simple word, and that word is called obedience. Obedience. You see, all authority is linked to obedience. What do we read in verse 8? "For I also am a man set under authority." The reason this is so powerful was because he was a man that understood how authority works and how it applies to his life in a positive, powerful way. You see, you cannot have authority until you get under authority. And I close this out this morning, and I want to start up with this. This is the reason that in the Garden of Eden, it was a must-happen deal for Satan to get Adam and Eve to sin. He had to cause this to happen. And the reason why was because Adam and Eve didn't realize, didn't know, didn't understand. I'm not quite for sure where the communication issue was, but they were given power and dominion and authority in the garden in which they lived, and Satan had trespassed into their garden, and he was under their power and authority. And the only way he could get that authority between Adam and Eve and God and feel that authority was to get them to sin, thus putting them under him and his authority. So we've got to understand just how far back this grudge match with authority versus God and evil, the Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever we want to call him, goes. And we've got to understand when Adam disobeyed, he forfeited and he was stripped of the authority and the power that he had. Because as the garden grew, his authority and his power and his dominion would have grown. And it would have left Satan with a smaller, smaller, and smaller, and smaller place in which to dwell. And he says, "That's not going to happen to me." You see, if we resist being under someone's authority, we have to remember, God does not give kingdom authority to those who rebel against such said authority. It doesn't happen. This is so important. If you do not learn to be under, you will never be over. Period. God is a principle God. We followed this all the way back from the garden forward this morning. We talked about a lot of different things, and we're going to talk about continuing on kingdom authority here. You can take and listen. If you want to go into the AM and service, you can listen to it online on our Facebook or website or whatever we're media, wherever we're at out there after the fast, I suppose, probably is what. When we look at the scope of kingdom authority, when the Lord gives us authority, I'm not when we talk about authority, I'm not talking about, we're talking about spiritual authority. Okay? God gives us spiritual authority. He doesn't give us authority to go across the street and kick somebody out of their home. Okay? Sometimes we feel like, well, God gives me all this authority. I'm going to just, no, that's not how it works. You might find yourself on the wrong side of authority if you try to take and do that. Okay? So God's not giving us authority to go up to somebody and tell them either how they ought to live their life, what they ought to do in their life, and you're some authority over them because of this, 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 or this. You see, God gives us spiritual authority. You see, we read in Luke 10, chapter 18 and 19, and he said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power. Now this is, to me, these are just mind-boggling, blow-my-brains-out type scriptures, because I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And all over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. That means everything that was stolen back in the Garden of Eden, I'm going to give all of that back, all of that power, all of that authority, and I'm going to give it back to you, and you can take and run shod over the serpents and the scorpions, the power of the enemy, and by nothing shall any means harm you. That's just, to me, that's just like popping the top of my brain pan off here tonight. You see, God gave Adam authority over the garden, and what God is doing here, he's not giving us authority over a physical plot of land now. He's giving us authority over a spiritual plot of land. That's why God, he's not going to give you authority over your neighbor's home, but he will give you authority over the spirits that come in and out of your neighbor's home. He can give us authority over spiritual territories. We don't need physical territories. It's the spiritual battle, the war. It's a battle of flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against spirits and principalities. So God gave Adam authority over the garden. We read that in Genesis 1, 27, 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I want to say thanks be to Jesus Christ tonight through the shedding of his blood at Calvary, that we have been given that authority back in a much more deeper, powerful sense of authority. But you see, according to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 and 8, but one in a certain place testifying, saying, what is this man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. What this is telling me is that Jesus Christ, his full inheritance, is waiting upon the return of Jesus Christ when he comes back to this earth. But until that particular time, he is placing all power, authority. When he said, I go, when I leave, you're going to do greater things than what I've ever done. You're going to have more authority in what areas that I didn't have. I'm going to give you, I'm going to pour out to you, I'm going to take and allow my church, my saints, my body, I'm going to give them all of the power and the authority. I was so pumped over this yesterday. Our full inheritance, and I was excited. I was reading 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3, and in this day and age, he's given us authority over the enemy, and we got to look at this, read this. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Listen, church, this right here here is the scope. This is the broad scope. This is the width, the breadth, the depth, the height of the kingdom authority that God has given unto us. He has given unto us the authority that he had and still has. You see, when we look at this, we have to continue down this path, because where God is taking us, where God is taking us, we're not going to get there without it. We got to understand that. We've got to learn some of these things. We got to step into this. You see, the enemy loves to mess with us on this. He loves to mess with us on this because the enemy likes to tell us that we're not something that God has already ordained that we are. How many times has the enemy snuck in and started to speak into your ear that you're not really as spiritual as you think? You don't quite have all that you think. Look at the preacher up there preaching. Now he's got something. You don't got that. You don't feel that. But don't listen to what the enemy is telling you. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've had his blood washed inside of your life, and you've been baptized and repented of your sins, don't let the enemy tell you that you ain't got something that he already knows that you got. And he'll come into an entire church, and you may have a demonic man or woman come in and stir up a bunch of stink, and everybody's afraid to lay hands on them because the enemy's got them afraid that they don't have power and authority. I tell you right here, right now, we not only have the power and the authority, but we can exercise it. We understand the centurion. The centurion understood the strength of authority, and he surrendered his authority to someone else's authority. And if you're wondering why in your own life you can't overcome some things, it's because you haven't surrendered your authority to his authority. And as I said, it's never going to happen if we don't surrender our authority. You know what our authority is? We preached about this not too long ago. It's surrendering our wills to him. It's surrendering our wills to him. So it's just mind-blowing that our power and our authority only comes about by obedience to him. That's it. Right there. You want power? You want authority? Then be obedient to him. Surrender yourself to him. You see, we got to understand something. This is powerful such, church. This is powerful stuff. And God is leading us straight smack dab into the center point. It's like there's a hurricane out there, and he's bringing us right into the calm of that hurricane. And it's just a matter of just a little bit when everything around us is going to just break loose. And God has got us right, perfectly protected, right in his eye. And we got to understand how this works. Let's look at this. Let's just pause for a moment. That authority differs from power. Okay? Got to understand that. You see, power comes from the office. Okay? And we had an example up here this morning. And they're both up close front. So if Sister Bonnie Useman can just come over here. And Brother John Repka can come over here. So you got to understand something. Sister Bonnie, she's a little traffic cop down here at the roundabout. And there's an accident. She's directing traffic. And Brother John Repka, he's a dump truck. Lycon dump truck, and he's got 16 yards of gravel at 32,000 tons of gravel, plus about 17,000 pounds empty. So you're up there 67,000 pounds, and you're barreling down towards that traffic circle, and here's little tiny Bonnie cop down there. This is the difference between power and authority. We understand that? Okay, You can be seated. Thank you. I'm going to give you another analogy tonight, too. You see, authority comes from an office, and power resides in the person. You see, when you look on a football field, we've all football, there's probably somebody playing right now somewhere in the playoffs. And on that football field, they can arguably, the sportscasters can argue all they want to about who the most powerful person is on that field. They can look at some of those big offensive or defensive linemen that might be pushing 350, 375 pounds, massive. But the most powerful man on that field isn't even dressed up in football attire. He doesn't have any football pads on. He may not be the biggest, strongest, or fastest man there, but he's the only man on the football field that's got a whistle. And you want to know about power, and you want to know about authority. This is where power and authority can come together. You see, he can stop a play by the blowing of a whistle, or he can send guys to the locker room because they violated a rule of the field. And Jesus says that you and I, hear me now, you and I, we are that little guy on the field. Jesus says that I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to give you authority, and our strength comes from his authority, and it's time, church, that we live in his authority. But we got to understand something. This is where I think we go wrong a lot of times, Pastor Seidel. The referee's authority only has authority. It only works on that field of play. He can't go outside of that restaurant and blow his whistle and pull somebody over for driving too fast down the street. That doesn't work. And I'm afraid, church, that what we have allowed to happen to us is that we have allowed our power and our authority only to work within our field of play. We're really good at trying to exercise our power and authority in here on each other. But God says, I didn't call you to exercise your power and authority. I expect it to happen in here. I called you to exercise the power and authority that I gave you out there. You see, as we begin this journey into the supernatural, it's vital that a number of things change within us. One is our level and our understanding of faith. We're going to get into all of this. This series is going to bob in and out our schedule all year long. This is so very powerful. As we begin this journey into the supernatural, we have experienced times and seasons of the supernatural. We've had some great things happen here at Calvary Gospel Church over the last 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, all the way back to 1946 when this church was founded. But you see, as we grow deeper and deeper into this dimension that God is calling us into, there will be other dimensions. Just doesn't stop at this one. God is going to continue to lead us and continue to direct us. But it's going to be a continual process of us having to surrender our wills over and over and over and over and over again. It doesn't just happen one time. It's something we're going to have to continually, as we get deeper and deeper, our faith will grow more powerful. which in turn will increase our power and our authority. Kingdom power and kingdom authority. It's not my authority. You understand that? You see, kingdom power and kingdom authority. I believe this so strong that God is desiring to pull this church into a faith zone of the double portion. It's been prophesied. I'm claiming it. You don't have to. Brother Jansen, I'm claiming it. If you want to be a naysayer and say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Roy. Listen, when it comes to casting out demons and healing the sick and exercising our authority over the powers of darkness, we become second natured as people when people get the Holy Ghost. People come in, they get the Holy Ghost, it's like it's just Sunday down in Stoughton. We had two baptized, one get the Holy Ghost, two baptized, or two Holy Ghost, one baptized, whichever way it was. That just becomes second natured. But it's not second natured when someone comes in and someone is sick and they leave. They're in a wheelchair and they carry their wheelchair out. And they come in and they're full of demons and we cast the demons out. You see, all of these things, authority over the powers of the darkness, we're good with the Holy Ghost because it happens frequently, but the rest doesn't. So we gotta get to a point to where this is common. This is an everyday thing. We have to. Listen to me, church. This is where we are going. This is where God is calling us to go, and the enemy does not want us to get a grip on this. We got to understand that. Follow me. We have been given the authority to cast out demons. Now think about this. Now this is a paradigm shift. I've struggled with this message. I will tell you this message, this part of this message, I talked to Bishop years ago on this, and it struggled with me, and I fought it and fought it, and finally I said, I'm not going to fight this anymore. We're going to just dive into it, right or wrong. If I boo-boo, I boo-boo. We'll fix it and move on. But nowhere in the scripture does it tell me that I've got to have an all-night prayer meeting, get everybody together so we can pray the demon out of somebody that comes into our church. As far as I know, Jesus went around and he just cast them out. He looked at the man or the damsel that was full of demons and said, get out of there. You don't belong in there. You have no authority. I'm taking you out. Did he or did he not? Now, I understand. Listen, I'm not making a case against not praying. Because that's not what I'm telling right here. But there's going to come a day that we ain't going to have enough time to lay hands on everybody. And we're going to have to look and say, how many of you need a healing tonight? And people lift their hands and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, I command healing to flow across this congregation. And about this casting out demons, are we not basically asking God to do something that he told us to do? You ever think about that? Just think about this. This is stuff that's just been messing with my head, okay? And I'm just bringing it out here. Because we're going to get this. And this is going to start happening. And we're going to say, oh my, this is different. That's why Jesus was different when he came. And that's why everybody says, oh my, he's different. There hadn't been very many cases of leprosy healed, in case you didn't know that, up until Jesus came, and he like just blew the records apart on healing lepers. I don't recall him going out somewhere and fasting for 40 days and getting in touch with his heavenly Father and come back and say, okay, I think I got enough in me that I can pray for 3 or 4 hours or a week or so and pray over these lepers, and maybe, just maybe, there'll be a connection between me and heaven and something will happen here. No, he had power and authority. And you know how he got it? He got it through prayer. But he wasn't praying for the leper. He was praying that God would surrender his will to him and that he would break down whatever was in him and he would give it over to the Almighty Father in heaven and say, listen, it's not my will, but thy will be done. This isn't like we're used to listening to, is it? Because we got prayer lines. We can't heal people without a prayer line. I'm believing that Sister Stephanie Thompson was healed tonight when they went back and prayed for her. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants. We read this, and that part, and gave authority to his servants. We like to go through all the rest of this and we never go back. But we're reading this right here. The Son of Man is the Lord himself, is as a man taking a far journey as he's leaving this earth someday, and he's taking a far journey and he has a house full of servants, and he says, I'm going to give them authority to run my household. Authority, see, it doesn't beg. We don't have to beg God for authority. We don't have to command authority. Authority commands itself. Authority doesn't ask. It doesn't beg. We're not told to ask God to cast out demons. We're told to do it ourselves. What did the centurion say that totally marveled Jesus? He says, right here, and my servant shall be healed. Come under my roof, but speak the word only. Speak the word only. You don't have to come to my house, Jesus. I understand authority. I've got enough faith. I know that when I command, I make a command, it's going to happen. And Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. You see, authority is exercised through our spoken word. What does Proverbs 18:21 tell us? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When we look at Jesus' own authority, he made it very clear that he indeed was God in the flesh, because he exercised authority that no one else had access or had exercised in all of history. He cast out demons using his authority in Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? And notice they say, what new doctrine? This isn't a new doctrine. This is just claiming what was already his territory. And he says, listen, there's not going to be anybody else standing here but me. I'm not going to let Satan stand next to me, beside me, or even around me. Everywhere I go, I'm going to upset his kingdom. I'm going to turn his kingdom into stink. Everywhere I go, I'm going to mess with him. And he did it. We read, he healed the sick with a spoken word. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, as I said, I'm not taking away at all from laying on of hands. Because we read in the scripture, James tells us. But we look in Luke chapter 9:1. That he gave He says, and when he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure all diseases. You see, we ought to understand something, that authority is exercised when there is a right to exercise it. The seven sons of Sceva didn't have the right to exercise that authority. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They exercised authority because they had the right to exercise authority. You see, as I said, I'm not trying to take away from laying out of hands. James 5, 14 and 15 tells us that's how we're taught to lay hands on the sick, call for the elders of the church. But as I said, Wednesday night I shared a dream with all of you folks here at Calvary Gospel Church. And we had reached a point as a church that God was using us in very, very powerful ways. And the word was being spoken. And miracles were happening because of the spoken word. You see, Mark tells us in his book that healing can come through the laying out of hands. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I want us to understand one thing when it comes to laying out of hands. And I want you to listen to me tonight, church. The laying out of hands is a transfer of power. It's a transfer of authority. It's not a power and authority that I have, okay? But I am a conduit for that power and authority. And I've just been feeling a check in my spirit that God says, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it starts happening, don't anybody claim responsibility for it. Brother James Novak's our youth pastor. He's also an electrician. When you put conduit out on an electrical job, does that conduit care what flows through it? We're a conduit. We shouldn't care what flows through us as long as it flows as intended. And a lot of people get caught up. Say, well, look what we're doing. Look how God is using me. You see, as long as one is credit hungry, God will use us. Is not credit hungry. God will use us in a powerful way. You see, God just is looking for a conduit to flow through. He's just looking for a conduit to flow through. Our musicians can come if you can stand tonight. You see, laying hands is a transfer of power. But understand something. If you don't have that power and authority, if you're not under power and authority, you won't have it. There's too many people in the world today that claim to have that power and authority when they don't have it. So we ask ourselves tonight, are we willing to awaken to our God-ordained spiritual authority? He said, remember what I told you this morning, unless that God-given authority or that headship of authority starts from the top down, we have to get it right in our homes. We got to get it right first in our hearts. Husbands, we got to get it right in our hearts. It's got to be right up here. It's got to be right down here. Then it transfers. If it's right here and here, it's going to transfer into our families. And when our families come to church, they're going to be right. See the importance of all of this? Why this is so critical? We talk about unity. We want to have unity. We have to have unity in order to have revival. And if we want all of the supernatural things that happen in revival, then we have to be unified in our authority, in our homes, in our hearts, in our ministries, and in our church. All of this flows together. The disciples, the 70, went out. They were all unified. God used them in some incredibly powerful ways. The 12 were used. The day of Pentecost, we see it all through the New Testament. This is where God is taking us. And I want to go there. But I got to surrender myself. This. Open up this altar tonight. God has spoken in a very profound way. If you're sick in body tonight, don't leave here. There's too much Holy Ghost in this place. What did he just get done telling us? I want our ministers and our elders, I want you to come down. Sister Jackie Wells needs a healing in a very desperate way. Let's exercise the authority that God just told us that we have. Praise team, begin to sing.